You are listening to a Bible talk recorded at the 2019 Western Christadelphian Bible School at Manuka. This is the second class in a series given by Brother Doug Davis on the subject, Exploring the Millennial Period. This class is titled, Armageddon.
Good morning. We have a light topic this morning, World War III. Or as we know, as the Gogian attack and also Armageddon all kind of wrapped in, we'll cover it today. So I look forward to, again, having your comments afterwards and dealing with your thoughts on what we're going to be covering today. Because, again, this is something that when we read our Bibles, and we read these passages, we can skim over them and not take the gravity of what these situations are. Because what is about to happen in this particular point is the world as we know it now completely changes, starting in the epicenter of Jerusalem and then radiating out. And after today, we get into what will the millennial period be like after Christ takes rule and starts to spread out across the earth. But in this particular situation, we are, if we were to take today's scenario and look at the nations that do surround Israel at this time, we know that they're not happy with the situation in Israel. We also know that they're armed to the teeth. Russia has been militarizing for the last decade. They are becoming, as we would commonly say, becoming a superpower from that perspective. They have vast nuclear capability. They have vast army. They've poured billions into their military machine right now. They've got a very mighty Air Force, mighty Navy, to a degree, not, again, compared to the United States, second, third, maybe, with China growing as well. But no matter what, we know that the nations around Israel at this time are arming themselves. They have got vast contracts. Again, America is open for business. They are selling their technology to the Arab nations. And we see it in the news constantly with respect to the scenario of Saudi Arabia. We know Syria is backed heavily by Russia. Egypt is well armed as well. And then again, Iraq, Iran, and I said Saudi Arabia. These nations are well stacked. They're prepared. And they have constantly, and Iran is always putting the old line out there, we want to bury Israel. And we see Russia, which is quite an interesting player in all of this, being the diplomat. You know, they can play both sides quite well. Putin is extremely intelligent man. He is ruthless, and he will do what he has to do to regain what he wants, what he sees the Russian Empire back. He wants it back. It was, as we know, what had taken place prior with Gorbachev and that. He was insulted by that. He was affronted by that. And he's come out and said, I want to make Russia great again. that phrase. So we have the players in play. And brothers and sisters, we don't know how long we have, right, before this particular situation takes place. It could be any time. We see that again, prophetically speaking, things are in place for this to take place. And so now, where are we? And again, I always, it's a call to action for all of us, is to say, if we're asleep, let's wake up in our relationship with our Lord and Master. We have got to take hold of back that relationship if we've let it slide. Because things are going to come upon this earth that we have never, nor has the world ever experienced what we're about to discuss today. It is so mind-boggling. We only see it in movies. You know, how many movies are out about this? And even the latest Avengers scenario, you know, they all, if you look at how that plays out, you know, one person comes in, snaps his fingers supposedly, and the world changes. There's going to take place things that are going to be seen that are so surreal to us that we will say, is this actually possible? And brothers and sisters, it is so possible. We are told it's going to happen. And so we have in Zechariah an outline here, and it says, "Lo, I am about to make Jerusalem a cup of reeling to all the peoples round about it. It will be against Judah, also in the siege against Jerusalem. On that day, I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it shall grievously hurt themselves, and all the nations of the earth will come together against it. What an entry. You think about this. For Christ to now come back and to establish this, the whole world will be watching. The events that take place are not just overnight. This will be building. These will be actions that take place. And it's no, you know, we'll be watching it on CNN. You know, we'll be seeing these things and say, how often has this happened? Is this the time? Is this what happened? The closest thing I can equate it to is 1967. You know, we look back at that. If any of you were at that point, I was not, in the sense, a religious person at that point, per se. And nor did I truly understand all the events that were taking place. But when I met Christadelphians and they explained it to me and the questions that I had, it was eye-opening. But the scenario is how many baptisms took place in 1967. You know, that call to action was so real because they thought it was now. And though we're that many years later, still waiting, that much closer to the return. But you see this kind of imagery of all the nations, and we know that we play politics. Everybody's nice, everybody's, you know, being the diplomat when they're dealing with one another, but behind the scenes, what is going on? What are we seeing? And I believe it's, again, there are so many actions that are looking, countries that are saying they're still, their prime objective is to then say, this is the country that I want to wipe off the face of the earth. Let's push them into the sea, as the scriptures say. And so we are going to be discussing this today. What is this going to look like? How will this impact the earth, especially Israel, obviously the nations surrounding it, and then the radiating effect out from that, and all of us, brothers and sisters. And so we're going to be in Ezekiel quite a bit, and Zechariah quite a bit in Revelation. So if you'd like to open your Bibles and just follow along with me as well, you can read it, but it's also, you will have your own personal notes in here. And again, feel free to share those with me afterwards if there's something you'd like to, because I am continually trying to improve my understanding of these times and also an appreciation for it. So the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, set your face toward Gog of the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy. This typically is a scenario where we've always kind of related this to Russia, and it could be other nations, but I just want to say that there is obviously nations that are involved in this situation. They're close to Israel that have got, that they feel that they can take advantage of their power and play against Israel. And prophesy against him and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn you about and put hooks into your jaws, and I will bring you forth, and you and all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed in full armor. They're ready for it. A great company, all of them with buckler and shield, wielding swords. Persia, Cush, and Put are with them. All of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his hordes. Beth Togarmah from the uttermost parts of the north will all, with all his hordes. Many peoples are with you. So we know that there's a great, not just one nation, but many nations that are going to take advantage of this opportunity that they see that they can come against Israel. But the interesting thing here is this term here. It's like catching a fish. I'm putting a fish in. He bites the bait and he comes down. So what's the bait? You know, we have different thoughts on what is it in Israel that causes them to want to come down and take this. And then recently we've had the Leviathan gas fields discovered off the coast of Israel. Is that it? Is there just the positioning of where Israel is that they would like to have that? Or is it just a power play? Like they want to take over the Middle East. The other countries hate Israel. To placate them, would it be just to, let's get Israel out of the way and I can then take over, dominate the complete Middle East myself as a nation of Russia, let's say. And so he says, be ready and keep ready, you and all the hosts that are assembled about you, and be on guard for them. After many days, you will be mustered. In the latter years, you will go against the land that is restored from war, the land where people were gathered from many nations upon the mountains of Israel, which had been a continual waste. Its people were brought out from the nations and now dwell securely, all of them. And so we've witnessed this with the return of Israel, the Jews back to Israel back in 1947, the establishment of Israel. It has become a fantastic country in itself, from a secular standpoint, not necessarily a religious one, but it is, they feel it has nuclear capability, so it can protect itself. Is that the scenario that we look at this from? Yes, we're secure. You come at us, we'll come at you. So they it's understood that the other nations respect their position from a strength standpoint, but there's going to be something that Russia will feel that they can actually come and take it, and Israel will not necessarily respond, or it will be so quick. But there's also this an interesting standpoint that they're talking about the latter years. Like, this has been going on. It's not an overnight decision. This they're planning, and this is in the works. And so the interesting thing is that God is so far away, well aware of this. It's like, I've got the playbook. Actually, I wrote the playbook. I know how this is going to play out. You can do whatever you want. And that is a comfort for us, brothers and sisters. This should not be a fearful, well, it is going to be a fearful a time. But we know that the God Almighty has got a plan. And his son is going to act on this. He is going to be the director of this whole play. And these countries, they feel that from a worldly standpoint that they're going to be able to manage this. But God, Christ at the end of the day is going to show who is king. You will advance, coming on like a storm. You will be like a cloud covering the land. You and all your hordes and many peoples with you. Thus says the Lord God, on that day thoughts will come into your mind. Where do these come from, right? And you will devise an evil scheme and say, I will go up against this land of unwalled villages. I will fall upon the quiet people who dwell securely, all of them dwelling without walls and having no bars, no gates. So easily, they think that they can just roll over this situation. To seize spoil and carry off plunder, to assail the waste places which are now inhabited, and the people who were gathered from the nations who have gotten cattle and goods, who dwell at the center of the earth. Isn't that an interesting and beautiful way of framing all of this when we look at this? But they think that they can come upon this and just will have their time of it. And you think about the interaction between Israel and Russia right now. They're playing. They're diplomats. They talk with one another. I liken it to the time when the king of Israel invited in the surrounding nation, and they scope it out. They get to see. They know exactly where their defenses are. They understand the whole drone technology, the satellite technology, where they from miles up into the sky can read a license plate on a car. They know. Russia's not stupid. They're assessing. And we've seen it recently. They fly their bombers. They've flown them out off the coast of California. America scrambles, sends them back. What do you think they're doing? They're doing it in Latvia, the Balkan states right now. They're constantly testing NATO to see how quick do you respond. It just happened last week. How fast can they respond to our defenses or our offenses? And so they are always sizing up. And then, lo, I'm about to make Jerusalem a cup of reeling to all the peoples round about it. It will be against Judah also. We've covered this, but this is the time to really start looking at this again. On that day, I will make it a heavy stone. These countries all are looking at this. Once they get involved in it, it is going to be a heavy stone. There is no escape once they get involved from this. They thought they had the upper hand. They are going to now find out that this was more than we thought we were biting off here. This is going to be something that is actually going to be, at the end of it, our destruction. So Zechariah brings out an interesting point. He says, behold, the day of the Lord is coming when the spoil taken from you will be divided in the midst of you, for I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle. Brothers and sisters, don't ever lose sight of that. All the nations. It's just not one. We keep focusing sometimes on certain ones. It is the whole Middle East area. And more will be involved. I think we also have got to take into consideration the globalization. And this is a really important word, because what is about to take place is now going to dismantle all globalization of industry. And so the things that we're going to be talking about in the next part of the class will start to, I want you to be thinking about how the way we're all interconnected business-wise. How many people here work for an international company? And you start to look at these things and you start to say, what happens if some of those countries were taken out of play? They're no longer countries. So you start to see the impact. I'm going to bring up some other slides as well as later in the week about all the companies in the world that will no longer be required because of the change that Christ brings upon the earth. And I want you to think about that because it now starts to put into play. Will the stock exchange still be up and running? Will we be trading stock? Is that a man thing? Is that a thing of God? Look at the implication that has in itself. This is the beginning of this situation. The whole globalization aspect, it will be cut off from a business standpoint in that sense, whereas now the communication will be coming from Jerusalem in terms of how we communicate with one another. And that would be a great talk, our discussions at lunch. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn to him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadar-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon. And now here, we've talked about this already, is that, remember, we've already been raised. The judgment has already been taken place. So the dead are raised, the saints have been called. We're waiting for this to take place, and now we're going to be brought in. The world doesn't know Christ is back at this point. And so now they look upon him who's pierced. He reveals himself to his children, Israel. And he now looks, and they realize. Think about that. We did crucify you. You are our king. It's a whole realization that comes across the whole nation. And they start to realize, it's real. Christ was real. Our Messiah is here. We're now delivered. Because up to this point, and we'll get into it a little later, because so many things are happening at this point, they are being attacked. There's going to be Zechariah, as we will see. There's situations going on there that they are almost devastated, like completely wiped out. And then Christ reveals himself, and then we see what takes place. But they at this time realize Jesus is our king. And on that day, the Lord will put a shield about the inhabitants of Jerusalem so that the feeblest among them in that day shall be like David. And on the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord at their head. And on that day, I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem because they're coming. And they're attacking. And they're trying to wipe my people out. And so then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as when he fights on the day of battle. On that day, his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives, which lies before Jerusalem on the east, and on the Mount of Olives, which shall be split in two on the east to west by a very wide valley, so that one half of the mountain shall withdraw northward and the other half southward. And the valley of my mountains shall be stopped up, for the valley of the mountain shall touch the side of it, and you shall flee as you fled in the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord your God will come and all the holy ones with him. So he returns, he sets his feet on, and it begins because this battle is taking place. He puts a shield around his people and he says, you think you're attacking me? Get ready, because now the tides will change for you. Your fortunes will change. And it's an interesting period for the people of Israel, for the nations round about. Everybody is wondering what is going on. There's this massive war is taking place, and all of a sudden something happens in Israel. And we see that this massive earthquake had taken place. The whole world will feel this earthquake when it happens. And the beauty that I find about God and his plan and the comfort that I get is that he put this at the time of creation. He had prepared all of the land for these things. We have the Rift Valley scenario. And the African, from Africa through Israel, Turkey, and Europe, we have the rift that comes up through this area. We have the African plate and the Arabian plate. When that goes, and it said, when it goes, the world will feel it. And that scenario here, what we have, is that it's interesting that you'll see how close it comes in through Israel in this scenario. And that will potentially cause that whole mountain, the drop, the rise of Jerusalem, all these things physically capable of happening. And they will. Things are in play, ready. And the description in Zechariah is exactly how geologists say it would move. And then the Dead Sea will become alive. And then again, we see that the world begins to change. Basically, all prophecy has been fulfilled, except for that relating to the return of Jesus Christ. The great earthquake, the Rift Valley, as we talked about in Zechariah 14, 4 and 5. The deserts made into springs of water. The Sahara Desert, by the way, right now, which is interesting, I just want to us, this is a desert. And there's so many metaphors that you can start to look at this. But Occidental Petroleum years ago did an analysis, and they said that there's enough water under that region to equal the flow of the Nile for 300 years. And so it's just waiting to be established. And those deserts will be made green again. Like the whole world is ready. And so, John made reference, and I'll be making reference to that later, is Romans 8. The whole world has been groaning in travail, waiting for this change to happen. Ever since the curse was placed upon it, these things have been waiting to be taking place. And it is in place. It's ready, just ready to happen. And so when he returns in Zechariah 14, 4, then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations when he fights on a day of battle. On that day, his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives, which lies before Jerusalem on the east, and on the Mount of Olives shall be split in two. And again, west by the west, very wide valley, so that one half, and again, north and south will split. This is, you look at all the nations about, and you look at Christ standing in this little country of Israel, and it is the story of David and Goliath. He is about to wipe it out, to end it all at this point, in terms of that nations, these nations coming against Israel, thinking that they can push it into the ocean, wipe out all the Jews. It is going to be a complete turnaround. They will be completely routed in that situation. And so Zechariah 14, and on that day a great panic from the Lord shall fall on them, so that each will lay hold on the hand of his fellow, and the hand of the one will be raised against the hand of the other. Even Judah will fight against Jerusalem. And the wealth of all the nations round about shall be collected, gold, silver, and garments in great abundance. A plague like this plague shall fall on the horses, the mules, camels, and asses, and whatever beasts may be in those camps. There's going to be a massive battle that takes place. And then on this, he says, on that day, a great panic comes about on the people. There's an intervention that takes, I'll be touching on that more, the intervention that takes place. But on that day when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, my wrath will be roused. For in my jealousy and in my blazing wrath, I declare on that day, there shall be a great shaking of the land of Israel. Both literally, spiritually, it's huge shaking. The fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep on the ground and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall quake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down and the cliffs shall fall and every wall shall tumble to the ground. What a frightening thing when you think of this, the magnitude that this will take place. Californians, you know what a shakeup is. That pales in comparison to what the world is going to experience at this time. The destruction, I will summon every kind of terror against Gog, says the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother. With pestilence and bloodshed, I will enter into judgment with him, and I will rain upon him and his hordes and the many peoples that are with him. Torrential rains and hailstones, fire and brimstone. So I will show my greatness and my holiness and make myself known in the eyes of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord. His kingdom is about to be established. They will see how powerful and great Christ is at this time. And there was a panic in the camp. And this is an interesting thing. I'm just going to go back to a scenario here. It's interesting that this Gog shall come against the land of Israel. My wrath will be upon them in jealousy, and my blazing wrath will be in great shaking. The scenario is that they cannot communicate. There's not an ability for them to be able to communicate properly. Their swords are against each other. And this is why I bring this up. Yes, and every man's sword will be against his brother. And so that is a reference for me is back to Samuel in that sense when, and there was a panic in the camp, in the field, and among all the people, the garrison and even the raiders trembled. The earth quaked and it became a very great panic. And the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah of Benjamin looked and behold, the multitude was surging hither and thither. Then Saul and all his people were with him and rallied and went into the battle. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow. And there was a very great confusion. You think about this. What kind of confusion could come upon the armies in today's environment? Earthquakes one, others. Sorry, great, I'm glad. Blackout communications, others. GPS downing. If you look at how scenarios of World War III will take place, you see BBC did a fascinating thing on it, and it showed that one of the first things that they would do is try to take out the communications, because how are our militaries run? GPS. It's all satellite-based. And once you take out the satellites, then the scenario is that they cannot actually communicate. They don't know. The bombs, the missiles and that are GPS technology. And so how do they fly? It would be line-of-sight warfare that we're talking about. We're back into 150 years ago, the way we fought. The other situation is China just recently had a disintegrating satellite. They sent a missile out to see if they could, how accurate they can hit these things. They took out one of their own satellites, which was dead. And it caused 30,000 pieces of shrapnel or debris to be in space now, and all the countries are scrambling trying to figure out is this going to impact our satellite scenarios, because they're afraid of a cascade effect. One hits, next, and it just keeps going around, and more debris and more debris. And you know, orbits, they all have a fixed pattern. And so that is one thing is that they're thinking could be, how do we communicate with one another? An interesting side of note is, I'm not sure if it's the American or the British Navy, all midshipmen need to know how to read a sextant. Because for the very same thing is that if the communications get taken out, they've got to be able to figure out where they are in proximity. So they go back to the old styles of navigation. But there's going to be a confusion that takes place. And if it happens back in this day and age, could you imagine with the technology and the lack of the ability to communicate, what will happen? Who is my enemy? Who is an ally? They will not know. They shoot everybody is the concept. And that's it. God, you know, I put it in play and I just watch. You guys, you'll take each other out in some cases. But he's so in control. And so you, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And I will turn you about and drive you forward and bring you up from the uttermost parts of the north and lead you against the mountains of Israel. Then I will strike your bow from your left hand and will make your arrows drop out of your right hand. You shall fall upon the mountains of Israel, you and all your hordes, and the peoples that are with you. I will give you to the birds of prey of every sort, and to the wild beasts to be devoured. You shall fall in the open field, for I have spoken, says the Lord God. I will send fire on Magog and on those who dwell securely in the coastlands, and they shall know that I am the Lord. We have this vision, I think, and this would be, again, just an observation on my part, but I'd like to hear your thoughts after. We have this vision that it is just going to be in those nations, in the upper mountains around Israel. But it makes mention here that he's also going to be hitting them in their home bases as well, along the coastlands, where they dwell. And so is this going to be the judgment on the nations that come up against Israel? I think sometimes we envision it's just those armies that are just right out surrounding Israel. But I think it's also all the nations. There is going to be a judgment on them at this particular time as well. So I'd be interested in your thoughts. But we have this in Zechariah, this outline, this vivid, descriptive in terms of what happens to the people that are going to be coming up against Israel. And this shall be the plague with which the Lord will smite all the peoples that wage war against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall rot while they are still on their feet. Their eyes shall rot in their sockets, and their tongues shall rot in their mouths. The interesting thing is here, it all happens while they're still on their feet. It is so quick. Now, some of us, you know, or I've heard brothers talk about that we feel it may be a nuclear scenario. I wonder about that, because we all know Chernobyl is a very good example of this, is that it can't, would it be that? Because it's not capable. Like, we would not be able to inhabit the land at that time. So is it something else that comes about? And I think it is. It's a plague from God that he puts it out, and it finishes them. It gives this effect. But is it nuclear? I think that that's too dirty. It'll be more of God's power in that sense. And so we have to think, this is a horrible plague that happens upon the people. And can you imagine what that would do to the people in terms of witnessing this situation? And so we have this logistically, how could this happen? You know, we have multiple targets in terms of the armies around coming against, right? We have multiple military assets, the Air Force, their navies, their armies, their special forces, and secondary follow-up by the nations who are involved. What is the American response if Russia was to hit America with a weapon? We counter, correct? So could you imagine, so what would happen in a scenario here that we're facing is that when they get hit so hard with this plague, would they counter on that? They would have, pardon me? Take the time. But they must be ready for something. Like they all would be ready in terms of I think the counter to, and that's why for me, like, look at this. Like, you've got submarines, you've got Navy, you've got people in the air, you've got people on the ground. This is going to be massive when it takes place. And you've got to be able to see underground, under the water. You've got to be able to take all the targets out in the sky before that they can hit us again. You see, so it's got to be so complete that no nation can actually come against them again. So you think about all the militaries are now completely gone in this one, or the majority of them are gone in this one act. And so it's no small undertaking that we're looking at here. It is massive. And I, just a side note, brothers and sisters, can you imagine, now there's going to be an ingathering after this, right? Can you imagine how these nations will feel about any Jew that is in their country at that time? You did this to us. Your people did this to us. So there will be an ingathering. There will be more Jews. It will be no different than the Second World War in the sense of the Jews going back to Israel. I think this will be a precipitation issue that will cause a great ingathering back into Israel as well. And they'll be called. But you have to look at the nations are now this is the beginning of the shift. You're now either on our side or you're not on our side. You're either for or against. And this will lay the groundwork with all these nations round about. And not only that, but the nations greater outside on a whole global perspective of the impact that this will have. A thought that I had also, and I just want to share it, and again, these are just my own thinking, is that I look back to the time that Joshua went at Ai. And God said, let's lay an ambush. He understands it. He gets the perspective. And so will he send out the saints or his angels into all these nations? Or is it just by the word of his mouth that all this takes place? Or will the angels and the saints be the ones going out and be prepared? Because we're already ready. Will we be the ones that will be acting in all these nations, taking out all of the military scenarios or their opportunities or their abilities to be able to counter attack, that we will be now working in those nations? And he'll say, okay, it's just Michael, Gabriel, Michael, take your forces over here. Gabriel, take your forces over here. Marco, take your forces over here. You know, like it'll be. And then when you know the time is right, execute. Because it will be the time. And everything has happened at the same time. Just thought, and again, just think of how we were in awe of 9/11. It was a simultaneous attack. And we were taken aback by that. We were caught. And how that response took place. First, it's in shock. And then now, what is our response to this? And so I think that's kind of it'll be an interesting discussion is to say, how will God take care of all of take care of all of these nations around about to ensure that they're not coming back again on this situation? So Sennacherib's army, this is another situation that I wanted to just touch on. For I will defend the city to save it for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. And that night the angel of the Lord went forth and slew 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when men arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies. Then Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went home and dwelt in Nineveh. And the next verse shows that he was then assassinated by his people. But this 185,000 were killed in at that night. Like that. Is it one angel that did it? How did this take place? Is it just by the word of God that situation? But we're talking about 185,000 people in a heartbeat, gone. And so we see the power that can take place. And we look at this, but we can gloss over this. And I sometimes think it becomes antiseptic to us that we don't realize the magnitude and the power that is about to take place on this earth. And how we're going to be, or the people of this earth will be impacted. And we as saints will be impacted. Another thing that, again, from Sunday school and all of the accounts that we read in the Bible, this is one of the ones that always comes to mind when I think of things like this, is that situation with Elisha talking to the young man. He says, so he sent the horses and chariots, a great army. This is, and they came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots round about the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? And he said, fear not, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Brothers and sisters, they're there now. They're all about us, just waiting for a command. How do they interact with us? And you see this situation that just God allowed a glimpse to show what is invisible to us. The power and the might that can take place. And that is waiting at any time for God to act. And so I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. And I will not let them profane my holy name any more than the nation shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Because you think of the profanity that's taking place, the use of his name, the disbelief in who he is. There is no God. And so now you have got to realize, this is the first establishment. Christ came as a lamb, as we know, the first time. He starts his preaching. He gets his disciples. And after his death, he rises up and goes, and then they're left to establish the faith and the way of Christ. And how many people have rejected? But now 2,000 years later, or some odd thousand years later, we now have a situation where he is now physically present on this earth. He's established a kingdom. He's starting his kingdom right now. And the people can actually look at him and say, this is no longer a fairy tale. This is real. Our faith is no longer required because now it is real. It's seen. What a exciting time. He says, I am the Holy One of Israel. I am now the king, not of just Israel. I am going to establish myself as king of this whole world. And can you imagine the people that, first of all, people that fell away and had nothing to do with God at a time, and just now they start to say, this is real. What I was what I was taught and I thought was a fairy tale or I completely disbelieved is now a reality. It's physical. It's no longer just a spiritual. It's both physical and spiritual. So this whole world is now completely different. It's an exciting, frightening time, but it's also a time of, it's going to be a time of rejuvenation because now man had his time to be able to establish himself, prove that he could not rule man or deal with this world in a proper manner. He's now establishing the righteous king on this earth. And so the Gogian armies are destroyed, completely wiped out. And I thought, this is a fascinating prophecy. Behold, it is coming and it will be brought about, says the Lord. It will be brought about that is the day of which I have spoken. Then those who dwell in the cities of Israel will go forth and make fires of the weapons and burn them, shields and bucklers, bow and arrows, handpikes and spears, and they will make fires of them for 7 years. This is just not a minor little battle that we're talking about. The material used for this battle would take 7 years to actually get rid of. And so that they will not need to take wood out of the field or cut down any out of the forest, for they will make their fires of the weapons. They will despoil those who despoiled them and plunder those who plundered them, says the Lord God. Interesting here. And it shall come in Ezekiel 39. It shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there are of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers, and there shall be they bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Hamangog. In 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them a renown that day, that I shall be glorified, says the Lord God. And they shall sever out of men of continued employment, passing through the land to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth, to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months shall they search. And the passengers that pass through the land, when they seeth a man's bone, they shall set up a sign by it till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamangog. And it's an interesting thing. So there's something special about the way these bodies, what's happening to these bodies, that they actually have got to have special people that bury them. And again, whatever that plague is or however that takes about, it is something that is definitely not open for men to be near. And the Lord will become king over all the earth. On that day, the Lord will be one and his name one. The whole land shall be turned into a plain from Gibeon to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. But Jerusalem shall remain aloft upon its site from the gate of Benjamin to the place of the former gate, to the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel to the king's wine press. And it shall be inhabited, for there shall be no more curse. Jerusalem shall dwell securely. The first time it can really truly say that, it will dwell securely. But you have this image that it rises up. So you have this physical imagery that's stating, this is the focal point now. And the word which Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of Israel shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above all the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, come. This is an exciting, think of this. I love this, and we'll talk about this later, is the Feast of Tabernacles. Or Feast of Booths, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall decide for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Think of that, brothers and sisters. No more war. Like the ability won't even be taught anymore. No armies, no conscription. And not only that, and we'll talk about that tomorrow, is that they will beat their swords into plowshares. And again, interesting, into the pruning hooks. They go into agrarian kind of farming kind of outlook now as opposed to war. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds, on the clouds of heaven, with a power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. What a beautiful image. The whole world will now know it. It's not going to be kept under a bushel. It is now for everybody to know that we are now in a different period of time. That trumpet sound. In that hour, there was a great earthquake in the tenth of the city. And this is fell, and 1,000 people were killed in the earthquake. And the rest were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is to come. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there was a loud voice saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever." A wonderful turning point. And so we have this, we know Daniel in his image, right? He gave the dream, he explained the dream to Nebuchadnezzar and said, you're going to have a time, man will have a period of time to try and rule this world, to show that he's capable, but he's not. But, and then God says, but I am going to take care of that. I'm going to end that domain. That period, those kingdom of men is no longer, and my kingdom now will be established in my Son. And as you look, the stone was cut out by no human hand, and it smote the image and its feet and of iron and clay and broke them in the pieces. And we all know that we are in that period right now of iron and clay. The bronze and the silver and the gold all together were broken in pieces and became like a the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them could be found. Interesting language there. But the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream. Now we will tell the king its interpretation. And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, nor shall its sovereignty be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end. And it shall stand forever. Just as you saw that stone was cut from the mountain by no human hand, and that it broke in pieces, the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, a great God has made known to the king what shall be hereafter. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. It will happen. And it is about to happen. And it'll be a frightening time, but it'll be an exciting time. And it'll be a new time. And tomorrow we will discuss the New World Order.